Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to JSW Infrastructure Q2 FY24 earnings conference call hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mohit Kumar. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Sagar. Good morning. On behalf of ICICI Securities, we welcome you all to the Q2 FY24 earnings call of JSW Infra. This is the first call post-listing of the company. To discuss the result today, we have with us Mr. Arun Maheshwari, Joint Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Lalit Singhvi, Whole-Time Director and CFO, and Mr. Vishesh Pachnanda, Head Investor Relations. We will start with brief opening remarks by the management, which will be followed by Q&A. Over to you, sir. Yeah.
Thank you, Mohit. Good morning and thank you all for joining our first earnings call as a listed entity. I am Arun Maheshwari. I start by taking this opportunity to thank each one of our shareholders for the trust and confidence that you have bestowed in our company. The company achieved a major milestone of getting listed on 3rd October 23. Despite global geopolitical challenges we witnessed in the last 2 years, that too after 2.5 years of COVID disruptions, the business environment in India continues to be very strong. We are witnessing a solid structural growth in almost every sector of the economy. Considering the importance of logistics sector, of a growing economy and more so maritime sector, which constitutes about 95% of the Exim trade, Prime Minister unveiled a blueprint for the Indian maritime blue economy and laid the foundation stone for projects worth more than 23,000 crore rupees at the recently concluded Global Maritime Summit 2023. Government's vision of ports for prosperity, progress and productivity is bringing transformational changes at the ground level. It was heartening to witness that the government is taking major steps to take the logistics sector more efficient and effective. The growing need of strategic modern logistics assets to bring down the overall cost has been the flare for past few years of country's budget as well. Central and state governments are working in tandem to increase the country's total port handling capacity to 10,000 million tons by 2047 from the existing of 2,600 million tons per annum. In alignment with this vision, the role of private players is being progressively augmented with public-private partnership terminals. Major ports in India, which are central government owned, have total capacity in excess of 50% of overall India's port capacity, and a large portion of it yet to be privatized. This offers a huge opportunity for a business enterprise like us to leverage and grow our business. The government's move to landlord port model is encouraging and will fuel a lot of private investment and will bring much desired efficiencies and enhanced productivity into the port operations. Against this backdrop, we continue to evaluate such opportunities, and presently we have placed our bids to acquire terminals at 3 different ports under the government's privatization move. As such, JSW Infrastructure Limited is uniquely positioned to capitalize on India's growth opportunities with a strong balance sheet and ambitious growth targets. Moving on to our operational performance for the period April 23 to September 23, the total cargo handle stood at 49 plus million tons. This is 17% growth year-on-year basis. The total revenue and EBITDA for the half year stood at 1,814 crore rupees and 991 crore rupees respectively. With a strong balance sheet in the sector, we are well positioned to pursue organic and inorganic growth opportunity. In line with the strategy of pursuing value accretive growth, I am happy to share that the acquisition of liquid storage facility of 465,000 cubic meters at the Fujairah port in Middle East for a consideration of $187 million. The facility was owned by MPT Commodities Limited, which is a part of Mercurial Group. This acquisition helps us to foray into the lucrative business of liquid storage at the Fujairah port, UAE, as well as which is one of the largest bunkering hub in the world. The transaction is expected to close by December 23. And with this, let me hand over to Mr. Lalit Singhvi to take through the financials and other details.
Thank you, Arun, and good morning, everyone. I take this opportunity to thank you all for your overwhelming response to our first equity raise program. The successful listing would not have been possible without your endorsement and belief in our growth story. So thank you again. Moving on to our quarterly results, in Q2 FY24, the company handled cargo volumes of 23.7 million tons as compared to 18.7 million tons in quarter ended September 22. Increase in cargo volume has resulted in increase in revenue for the quarter from INR 662 crores to INR 848 crores, a year-on-year growth of 28%. Cargo handled at Jaigarh and Dharamtar port have increased by 35% and 34% respectively, year-on-year on back of increased cargo from JSW Steel. Further, Paradip Coal Terminal, which had first full year of operations in FY23, has shown a cargo growth of 28% in the current quarter. Similarly, cargo handled at Paradip Iron Ore Terminal has increased substantially in the current quarter on Y-on-Y basis. Mangalore Container Terminal handled close to 54,400 TU, which is 7% higher on year-on-year basis. Increase in Paradip and Mangalore locations have contributed to increase in third-party cargo growth of 31% in current quarter on overall basis. So third-party cargo has increased to 8.55 million tons from 6.58 million tons. Other income, which mainly includes interest on fixed deposits and gain on mutual fund investment, has gone up to 47 crores in the current quarter as compared to 35 crores in the quarter ended September 22. So EBITDA of quarter ended September 23 has gone to 499 crores from 375 crores in the quarter ended September 22, resulting in an increase of 33%. EBITDA margin stood at 55.76% in the current quarter as compared to 53.91% in the quarter ended September 22. Depreciation was 100 crores and finance cost was 71 crores in the current quarter as compared to 99 crores and 109 crores respectively in the quarter ended September 22. Tax expense for the current quarter is 72 crores as against 29 crores in the quarter ended September 22. So effective tax rate has gone up to in current quarter to 22% from 17%, mainly on account of and of ADIA deductions for two berths at our Jaigarh port in current year FY24. PAT for the current quarter is 255 crores as against 138 crores for the quarter ended September 22, representing an increase of 85% on year-on-year basis. Increase in PAT is reflection of increased total income, efficient operations resulting in lower operating expenses and lower finance costs. As of September 30th, we remain a net debt-free company with total cash and cash equivalents of 5,333 crores, while gross debt stood at 4,261 crores. Based on our strong performance of the previous periods, the credit agency Moody has upgraded our credit rating from BA1 to BA1 from BA2 with stable outlook. Now I'll take a moment to reiterate the uses of IPO proceeds. So out of total proceeds of 2,800 crores, approximately 900 crores was meant for debt repayment. As an update, we have already prepaid 325 crores in the month of October and balance prepayment is expected in the current month. 1,200 crores is for capex, mainly for 2 million ton LPG project at Jaigarh port and expansion of Mangalore container terminal. Both are progressing well and are expected to be completed by January 26 and February 25 respectively. The balance is for general corporate purpose and will be utilized accordingly. On the acquisition, as Arun highlighted, the enterprise value is 187 million. This will be funded by a mix of debt and internal accruals. With this, I request the operator to open the line for questions. Thank you.
Thank you so much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, please press star and 2. Participants, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Mr. Achal Lohade from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Good morning, team. Congratulations for the good stuff. My first question is with respect to volumes. Can you help us understand in terms of how you see FY24, 25, 26 volumes panning out, and what kind of third party so can we expect for by FY26?
No, we are not able to hear you properly. Can you please repeat it?
Mr. Lohade, there seems to be a lot of disturbance from your side, or maybe your network is not proper. If you're using speaker mode, can I request you to use your handset, please?
It is better, sir?
Yes, thank you, better.
Sorry about that. So, I would like to check in terms of the volume growth expectation, you know, over the next 2 years. What kind of volume growth and what mix and what third party mix can we look at?
Okay, thanks for this question. See, basically, you know, as we had, you must have seen of our company, we have been continuously growing in all the sectors, and we have been striving very hard for the last 5 years to increase our cargo mix profile. And we'll continue to do that, and the results have been quite visible in the previous 4-5 years. Going forward from here on, the way the opportunities are there in different sectors, our acquisition of Fujairah Oil Terminal is then a step towards that, because we were never into tankage terminal, we didn't deal with the subject. Fujairah being a known territory for us, one of the largest you know, liquid terminals market in the globe. So we thought, you know, a step over there will give the hands-on experience for us to get into tankage terminal, which is very promising again in India going forward. So the effort is on, and I think we have been growing at the rate of 22% CAGR for the last 20 years, and most prominently in the last 4 years, we have grown at the rate of 40% CAGR. I think our all the efforts would be to maintain a long-term kind of CAGR, depending upon the opportunity what we get, depending upon the project, how we are executing. We see immense opportunities coming in, and we'll try to maintain the similar kind of CAGR on the growth front in the volume as well as the product basket.
Well, as the current questioner has left the queue, we will take the next question from the line of Mr. Lokesh Maru from Nippon India Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Thank you. I hope I am audible. Congratulations, team, on an excellent set of numbers and the successful listing. I have two questions. One is on seasonality in volume offtake and margin mix over the 4 quarters of a year. And another is, what is the peak, you know, EBITDA potential, or what are we expecting from the Fujairah port in FY25 and FY26 respectively? Just these two questions. Thanks.
The first one is seasonality. Mr. Maru, the first one is seasonality you're talking about, right?
Right, seasonality in volumes and margin mix across our 4 quarters.
So I'll just take the first part of the question on the seasonality, and rest my colleague can answer that. Basically, in India, monsoons are very heavy during July to September period. So a typical, I would say, H1 is generally slightly lower. Q1 is okay. Q2 is slightly lower. But Q3 and Q4 are generally better than Q2. So in all, if I have to look at it, H1 is slightly lower than always as H2. So whatever the results we have given for H1, you can derive from, you know, from there on. H2 would be, in our expectation, as our experience has gone in the last 20 years, H2 has been slightly better than H1 always. So it would remain that way. So far as the profitability and Fujairah ports are concerned, my colleague Lalit would.
So as regards Fujairah acquisition, probably you are asking. So as we look at it, that it should be around say $20 to $22 million for next FY 24-25. So that is the number we are expecting from this, and we'll keep updating as we start operating this, but this is our expectation. Is there anything else on this?
So just a follow-up on both the things. Fujairah, $20-$22 million of EBITDA annually, right?
Yes.
Okay. And on seasonality, so H2 is stronger. Is it, a fair assumption to put it that H2 would be 60 and H1 would be 40, like 60-40 ratio or 55-45 kind of a ratio?
Our previous experience has been, generally H2 is almost better, but then we have seen it has been ranging from 7 to 12% somewhere, better than H1. So it could be somewhere in between that.
Understood, sir. Thank you so much and all the best.
Sure.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sumit Kishore from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Thanks for the opportunity. I have two questions. The first question is, could you give us an update on the on-ground progress for development of the Jatadhar and Keni ports? What is the stage of financial closure and sort of groundbreaking for both these projects? And the second question is on your BSE filing related the container train operator license that you have secured from SICL. Could you give us more strategic insight into what this means for the company over the next 2 years? Thanks.
Okay, on the update on the two greenfield ports, Jatadhar and Keni. So Jatadhar, as we said, we'll be getting this soon. As we talk today, there is a meeting going on in Odisha on this particular concession agreement. So hopefully, we are expecting that it should be coming around in another couple of weeks' time. So it should be done within the next couple of weeks' time, as what we understand from the authorities over there. So far as Keni award of contract is there, I believe a lot of discussion has happened within the government in the last couple of weeks. And though it is still, the award is yet to be given to us, and we are expecting the general guidelines what have been given to us, that they would be soon giving their decision on the award, maybe within a week's time or so. So hopefully, by end of middle of October, middle of November or end of November, we should be there on both the sides. And so far as your second question is concerned,
yes,
regarding the container train operator license. So if you have closely watched our company, we were never into containers. We got into containers in 2020, and we have been very happy with that. We were never into LPG. We got into LPG in a smaller manner in Jaigarh. We have been very, very outstanding results. We were never into liquid terminals. We got into liquid tankage terminal in Fujairah by this acquisition, what we have announced yesterday. So we'll test that water with that as well, and we are pretty hopeful. Our due diligence says it was a very, very good investment. Similarly, container train operator license, we were never into end mile delivery, so this is the first step towards the connecting the end customer directly. So this is a test what we are doing. The investments are very minuscule, but it's a flare which probably will take the company to the next level of servicing to our customers. So this is an attempt towards that, and I'm sure the way our research says, it would be a good investment, and once we get a hang of it, probably we can go further deep into these deliveries.
Thanks a lot, and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Priyankar Biswas from BNP Paribas. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir.
Yes.
So my first question is regarding further acquisition opportunities. So both in case of major ports tenders or let's say NCLT cases that may be there. So can you provide a pipeline or some sort of thing like what can we expect in the let's say next 24 months regarding major port tenders or maybe some acquisition opportunities? That's the first one.
So guidelines wise, if I have to look at it, you know, Government of India has made it very clear they would like to be in landlord model, and every month we see a couple of opportunities coming up. Few of our liking and few of our not in the overall strategy sitting. So every month we seeing opportunities coming in. The pipeline is huge. How much comes, when it comes, it is purely depends upon the individual port developments. It is difficult to put a number how much will come in the next 12 months or 24 months. But there are opportunities coming every month, and I think 2 to 3 out of 10 are to our liking. So we can we keep exploring it. We look at the geography, the potential of increase, the customer base, whether the cargo profile suits our overall strategy, whether it is fitting into our vision of 2030 or 2035 global vision. So if everything ticks box, then only we pursue that opportunity very sincerely, and then we bid for it. So it is difficult to put a number how many opportunities will government give, but the capacity wise, if I have to look at it, almost out of 2,600 million ton of total port capacity of India, 1,600 million ton is owned by Government of India. So 1,500 million is owned by Government of India. So that, and out of which only 30-40% is as of now under private public-private partnership. Balance is yet to be given on public-private partnership. So pipeline is solid in terms of capacity. Pipeline is solid in number of the intention of the government. And we, being one of the largest terminal holders in India, understand this business very well. And hopefully we will be well suited for participating in these biddings and secure something out of it. So far as NCLT is concerned, we are not looking or scanning each and every opportunity which is coming our way. We are very cautious, choosy, and ensuring that our money gets us better return. There's plethora of opportunity. We don't want to just bid whatever opportunity comes in our way and stuck with that. So we would like to invest only a value accretive strategy or any investment which gives a better return for all of us.
Sir, if I just add on to it, so like which states or would be your focus as far as let's say considering ports?
So see, we have been in Maharashtra, we have been in Karnataka, we have been in Chennai, in Tamil Nadu, we are in Odisha, and we are in Goa. So where we are not is Gujarat, we are not in Bengal, we are not in Andhra, we are not in Kerala. These are the four states left out by us. There are opportunities coming in these states, and including the existing states where we are. I think we would see if we can have something in Gujarat, if we can have something in Andhra, if we can have something in more in Karnataka or somewhere. So already Odisha and Karnataka, we are already pursuing greenfield ports. We would like to look at that. But otherwise, good enough opportunities in every state today. So whichever comes in our way, if it is fitting on our overall strategy, we are definitely there. But four states we are not there as of today, Gujarat, Bengal, Kerala, and Andhra. So these four states definitely remains on our wish list.
Sir, if I just can squeeze one more in. We are seeing a lot of volume growth driven by your Paradeep asset in particular. So yeah. If you can highlight what is the peak potential, I mean, if you include future expansions as well, especially on the coal and iron ore sites, because I understand that there would be increased coastal movement from, let's say, Coal India connections. So what is your, can you shed some color on that aspect?
Thank you for asking this question. See, these are the two big investments we have done outside Jaigarh Port. Jaigarh Port is our flagship port, and the second biggest investment we have done is in Paradeep Port, in these two terminals put together. Now, iron ore terminal is only 3-year-old terminal, running at 100% capacity, has the potential to do much more than what it is designed for, what has been in the concession agreement. And if the port allows us, we can handle more cargo over there, which we can certainly see, because port would be earning revenue out of our handling of cargo as a revenue share. So far as the coal terminal is considered, it's a 30 million ton coal terminal. This is the second full year of operation of the terminal. One of the largest coal export terminal in India, handled very efficiently with all the modern equipments. This is the second year of operation. The first year of operation, we were handling 40% of the total capacity. This is the second year of operation. We expect that we should be, our target is to achieve 60% of the total capacity. Still, we will have enough headroom available to utilize that capacity. Being one of the very strategically located, these two terminals, very close to the mines, it becomes a naturally first choice for any customer to handle their cargo from these two terminals. Imagine there is no new coal mine started for coastal movement. There is no new thermal power plant started for coastal movement. This terminal, which is one of the largest, came into the scenario and running at almost 60% capacity in the second year of operation. So there's so much of cargo demand. The people were, because of the strategic location, we see that, you know, the volume will continue to grow in this terminal till we reach our peak over here. I think another 2 to 3 years time, we should be there for touching the peak.
Okay, sir. So there could be further expansion on this, or this is the
capex? No, capex is already done. So it is only the utilization, because any port takes about 4 to 5 years of utilization. The beauty of terminal model is that the customer base is already there, strategic locations are there. So the utilization is much faster in terminal businesses. So maybe 2 to 3 years, we reach almost 80 to 100%. What we have witnessed in other terminals, whether it's Ennore or Mangalore or Paradip Iron Ore terminal, the utilization has been close to 100% of the third year of operation. And the coal is only the second year of full year of operation. So we expect a similar feat should be there for coal terminal also. But it all depends upon how much of coastal cargo or how much of railway is available, how much coal mining is done. But in all fairness, because of the location and the facility what we provide for the coal movement on the coastal side, we should be there.
Thank you, sir. That's very clear.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Aditya Mongia from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for the opportunity. My first question relates to the Jaigarh Airport and the Dharamsar Airport. I wanted to get a sense that while these airports are benefiting from wallet share gain, for how long can a very, very strong trajectory continue, post which the wallet share gains from Dolvi will kind of be taken out?
Sorry, it was not very clear. Seaport, but then what is the question?
Aditya, would you mind repeating your question, please?
Your voice was a bit echoing, so we couldn't really get out.
Sure. Am I audible to you right now?
Yeah, it's better, yeah. Slightly better, yeah.
Sure. So the question was that today Dolvi is kind of helping Dharamsar and Jaigarh report fantastic growth numbers, probably due to wallet share gain. For how long does this strong period for Dolvi and Jaigarh and Dharamsar continue, post which the wallet share gain argument gets taken out?
Okay, so Dolvi and Jaigarh has been, growing, showing strong numbers. Jaigarh has different reasons altogether. Also, in addition to what Dharamsar had, because Jaigarh has been handling third-party business, the sugar has grown quite a lot in the last 3, 4, 5 years. LPG has started, fertilizer has started. So there are a variety of other cargoes which are at Jaigarh. So their growth story and Dharamsar growth stories are similar to an extent. But then Jaigarh has a more potential and more growth story available to them, because it's a greenfield port, deep sea water port, and a good hinterland over there. So going forward, the way JSW Steel Dolvi plant is growing, as of now they are 10 million ton, which is the first year of their peak of 10 million ton what they are producing over there. That's why the growth numbers are going up and up. The kind of their sourcing is changing, the more volumes are flowing into Jaigarh. So we see not everything will come directly to Dharamsar. There will part of the volume will also come to Jaigarh port, which will add more volumes at Jaigarh in addition to what they are already doing. There is an intention for JSW Steel, what we understand, that they would like to increase their capacities there also, which will be a direct plus point for Jaigarh and Dharamsar both. With a minimal capex, we can do much, much more volume in these two ports again. once we have a very clear advice from JSW Steel, probably that will help us to give our projections much more stronger and very clarity how and when it will happen.
Sure. Thanks for the color over there. The second question that I had was, while we talk about privatization, from a balance sheet perspective, how much money can be put to good use over, say, the next 3 years, given your own assessment of how the business is going to scale up in terms of EBITDA as well?
Participating in privatization, you mean to say?
I'm trying to assess how much money from the balance sheet can be put to good use over time, over a three-year period, from your perspective, towards adding new assets.
Yeah. So it's like this. We have, given a guidance that we'll have a net debt to EBITDA, of 2.5. So today we are net debt free positions. So you can see that there is a large headroom available for our growth as the balance sheet is so strong today. So based on this guidance, we will keep investing for our growth projects.
Understood. And just to kind of finish this part more better, is there a sweet spot in terms of project size that you are looking towards when you're bidding for assets? That would be the last question from my side. Thank you.
So project site per se, we have already said, Jatadhar is one project site in Odisha, which is Greenfield Port. There is another one which we are awaiting the award in Karnataka in Keni. That's again a Greenfield Port. We have done an acquisition in Fujairah. That is another one which we have done. The project site we have already bidding, continuously assessing and bidding into the terminals, into the government ports, which are all strategically located, has been running for 60, 70 years. So those are strategic location in any which case. As I said in the earlier, one of the investors call was that, the Gujarat, Bengal, Kerala and Andhra are the states wherein we don't have any footprints as of now. We would continue to seek and explore the opportunity if we get something over there.
Those are the questions from my side. Thanks a lot for your response.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mr. Achal Lohade from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Sorry, I got disconnected. Am I audible now, sir?
Yeah. You're audible.
Yeah, sir, I missed out on the long term was the last word I heard. If you could repeat the same, if you would have talked about FY 24, 25, 26 volume guidance, anything given?
So what we have mentioned earlier is that, generally our growth has been 22% CAGR of the last 20 years. And in the last 4 years, we have been doing about 40% kind of CAGR. On a long-term basis, we would like to, our wish list would like to maintain the similar kind of CAGR. The opportunities are unlimited, the balance sheet is there, the management intention is to keep growing the business, and India is offering that opportunity today. Probably with this kind of balance sheet, we would like to continue, our wish list would to continue maintain the similar kind of CAGR going forward.
Understood. Is there any number you can put out, sir, for CAPEX for FY 24,
25, 26? On the CAPEX front,
No, CAPEX, actually, we keep looking for many opportunities. As we just said that, our guidance is 2.5 net debt to EBITDA. So within that, we'll keep doing it. So it's difficult to give any number as we look for many opportunities. We just announced one acquisition today. Then there are greenfield projects which will keep coming in, how much money will go in that in particular year. So number is difficult, but within that guidance will keep growing.
Right. And if I were to ask you about Jatadhar project, given we are at the almost closing of the concession agreement, can you help us in terms of what size, by when and what CAPEX would it entail in the phase one or total?
See, the Jatadhar project, the total project is for about 52 million ton in two phases. The phase one is about 30 million ton and the second phase is 22 million ton. We are yet waiting for the concession agreement to be signed. Hopefully, we should be signing it very shortly now. The project should take about 3 years' time from the day we start commencing the construction. So in all fairness, we think this is the first project on the greenfield side which will be starting and completing.
Sir, any clarity you can give with respect to the environment clearances? All the approvals are already in place for Jatadhar?
Yeah, all the approvals are in place for that.
Understood. Thank you so much and wish you all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nikhil Abhyankar from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So, my first question is on Fajira. So how much is the debt at Fajira? And our capacity utilization is already at 95%. So are we looking at any immediate capacity addition?
Sure.
You are talking about the Fujairah terminal. Yeah, currently capacity, you know, there is a huge demand, so it is at 95% utilization, and you know, very recently it's being talked at 100%. You know, all the tanks are being utilized. So there government is ready to give us you know, adjacent land. So there is a possibility once we take over, and then if demand persists, we will certainly, you know, expand those capacities at a much lower cost. And then we'll scale it up further from, you know, 465,000 cubic meter is the current capacity. Or we can always increase this capacity to reap benefits of the expanded, you know, capacities.
So, and so can you just confirm that the CTO operations that we have acquired, so there are no trains as of now? Chikal, it doesn't have any trains?
Green set.
CTO. It doesn't have any what?
Trains.
No, CTO is a permission for, you know, yeah, of course, there are no trains as of now, but then we are, so it is the first step, as I said. The first step getting into this last mile delivery connectivity, and we'll build from here on this. So this is a testing ground for us into this segment. So we are slowly, we'll be slowly building up this particular portfolio.
Okay. So, and are there any opportunities in minor ports from state governments in the near to medium term?
So, as of now, we have mentioned about two, Jatadhar and Keni, which we are working on. There keep coming several opportunities. Being second largest port company in India, definitely every opportunity also comes to our table. And we look at in our sense whether it is really fitting into our overall scheme of things of growth and the kind of capex, the kind of hinterland, the kind of cargo growth, profile of cargo, the customer, last mile delivery, everything. It has to tick many boxes before we really go full hog on that. So we keep assessing several opportunities, and India is offering several opportunities. I must be very candid about it. And I think we are there to encash part of it. But as of today, we have declared two, and we are mentioned two, and we'll talk about that.
Okay. And so final question, who are our customers at Paradeep, and where exactly is the coal, what is the coal destination from this port?
So this is a coal export terminal. For a port company, coal export means it is all moved towards coastal movement. India doesn't export coal per se. So it is all for coastal movement. The end users are largely five major ones: Tamil Nadu State Electricity Board, Andhra Pradesh, Telangana, then Karnataka, then Sembcorp. These are the four or five major customers over there, which are utilizing these services from us.
Okay. Thank you and all the best.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. The last question is from the line of Rajarshi Maitra from InCred Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So my question is on the first half performance of last year, first half of FY23. So what I noticed is that between the first quarter FY23 and second quarter, there was a volume decline of about 20%, and moreover, group company volumes declined by about 26%. So in the what I want to ask is, in the second quarter of FY23, were there anything, any exceptional events that happened because of which the group volumes declined 26% in second quarter FY23?
No, we don't have that number here.
Hello, am I audible?
Come on.
Am I audible?
Yeah. So you want to say that anchor customers volume was lower in FY23 H1 compared to
So the anchor volumes in the second quarter FY23 was about 12 million tons, and the anchor volumes in first quarter FY23 was 16.4 million tons. So just wanted to check, was there any exceptional reason for that?
No. Q2 is always, as we discussed earlier also, it's a monsoon month. In the monsoon month, every year you will find cargo dipping compared to Q1 or Q3.
Okay.
And last year there was a cyclone there which affected operations for part of the period.
Okay. So the cyclone had an impact which was not there this year. So as a result, the decline is not as sharp. This year, the volume, the decline is not as sharp.
Absolutely. Okay.
Thanks for that.
Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Arun for closing comments.
Thank you all investors, and thank you for hearing it out very patiently, and continue to have the confidence in the company and the management. And the sector is looking good. The India's economy is standing out as compared to any other economy of this size and scale. And I think we are into the right country in the right sector, and looking forward to have continuous engagement with you all. Thanks again for joining on a Saturday.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.